Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
I have an anonymous letter here. Chemda says, happy belated birthday, Keith and Chemda. Do you want to know my bra size or nah? Look, I just needed people that write in to care. So I'd make them rant, but no, of course not. We're adults now and it's 2022. I'm late on the well wishes because I was nervous to send this, but what the hell? Let's go. Talking about Keith and the Girl reaching 17 years. I found you on my little iPod Nano when I was 19.
Oh, those were so cool. Look up iPod Nano if you weren't around for that. Very cool.
You have helped maintain my sanity and nourished me with laughter for over 15 years now. Wow. I set my sights on New York City in large part because I wanted so badly to attend Keith and the Girl events and become part of a community. I was so lonely growing up, and when I discovered Keith and the Girl in all its forms and glory, it felt like I could have a chosen family. Needless to say, you were clowns working kids' parties when I started listening. So I quickly learned of your seething disdain for glitter. I'm sorry to say I wear that shit on the daily, but happy to report I spared you my sparkles and have loved you from afar ever since moving to the boroughs 8 years ago.
Wow.
You've gotten me through traumas I didn't think I was strong enough to survive, like a devastating breakup, a breast cancer scare, and the tumultuous death of a close friend that really decimated me to my core. Perhaps even more importantly for me, binging your show kept me going when I was trapped in a domestic violence nightmare in my 20s. They write, trigger warning. A man 10 years older than me had groomed and manipulated me, isolated me from everyone, then essentially held me hostage for a year while he raped and beat me in some pretty humiliating ways.
Wow.
Listening to your show was oftentimes the only source of light I felt in an ever-darkening world. I can't help but wonder, what do we talk about those days?
Right.
You know? And how can you listen and give a fuck? But thank you, you know? Mm. Let's get to this Will Smith slap. The person's like, oh, thank goodness. I made numerous escape attempts until finally, inexplicably, he didn't chase after me that final time I made a mad dash to the streets for freedom with nothing but the clothes on my back and my phone. With no money and unsure where to even go, as I was new to his state and he made certain that he has all I had, I remember sneaking onto the back of a city bus. I put on your show for comfort. Even if I was too panicked to give it my full attention at the time, your familiar voices soothed me. I don't know that you'd read this sad girl shit on air, but on the off chance you need a strong BetterHelp segue. I'm here, but please don't use my name. That wild fucking gorilla recorded videos of the things he would make me do. For all I know, he still has revenge porn locked and loaded, should I ever speak about what happened to me. Anyway, every day feels like your birthday to me because Keith and the Girl is a cause for celebration all year long.
Wow.
And because, let's be real, we're all collectively seeking Chemda's validation as the birthday goddess of comedy for this nation.
Oh my goodness.
Shout out to Xerxes for treating my gal oh so right.
All right.
I'm poor as hell again thanks to the pandemic, but VIP has seriously become part of mental health care for me, so I'll sacrifice almost anything but that. Do you take Medicaid? Thank you both so much for everything.
What a hilarious person.
Right.
Wow. It's so rare that I'm speechless. Oh my God. Call a lot of people that have been wanting to see me not be able to say something for a while.
Right. No, that's heavy. Wow. Thank you. Wow. Here's one. Keith and Chemda, 10-year listener, 9-year VIP member.
By the way, the person who held her hostage, this person hostage, that person maybe deserves a slap. I mean, if we have to pick a person, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing tweets and stuff. There's no reason for violence. I'm like, well, no reason. 10-year listener, this writer says, 9-year VIP member, after hearing the last wrap-up show with Rod and Karen, I had to write in and tell you that I love the new format. Rod and Karen alternating weeks with Bianca is music to my ears. They have very different styles of hosting, and I'm glad we get them both. The last week episodes, along with the newsy experience... They write, I know it's called Q&A, but it's an experience for me when I listen. I hear you.
It's an experience for sure.
I don't know if he's still alive.
We should call it Q&A the ride.
Yes.
Because we have to buckle in.
Anyway, these two shows have become a central part of my Keith and the Girl listening. It feels like podcasting in its most raw form. Please pass the message to Rod, Karen, Bianca, and Newsy that they make my week. I save daddy issues and diamond dogs for weekends. You all are my dessert when I clean. Please don't stop doing what you do. All these, of course, are VIP shows. Keith and the Girl for Life, Peace, Love, and My Relief During a Pandemic. I Love You for Life, Will. And then he writes, not the slappy one, the one in Georgia. All right, there you go. Well, I'll say this, Will. As a VIP member, you get tickets for all upcoming Keith and the Girl events. Okay? So Keith and the Girl,
week events.
Keith and the Girl week events. All right, easy. What, you don't make it up events over there, Will? This is all we got.
Don't slap them.
Tickets to all five events will be available this Friday, and VIP members can get all five for free for a limited time. So become a VIP today at keithandthegirl.com/VIP, and you'll see a special link to all access this Friday. Had to posted some details on our Reddit page if you want to take a look. And thank you. That's it. Get your free tickets. keithandthegirl.com/VIP. You've earned them. Today's show has a great guest. And you are in for a treat. Let's see here.
We're going to judge this guest a lot because we are very warm with his girlfriend. So today we find out, are you good enough for our buddy Lucy? And yes, this is all part of your introduction.
He's been on Comedy Central, Food Network, Travel Channel, and more importantly, Lucy Pohl's new boyfriend, Tom Delgado. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Do you make Lucy do the mercy voice in bed, Tom Delgado?
no, actually, I don't. I had no idea. I've never played the game in my life.
Oh, that's how you got her.
Yeah.
But if you could just next time, just in the middle of something, just go, quick, get a medic.
Wait, do you guys play the game?
We all do. Tom, you're a dork.
Oh, how the tables have turned. The dork is the one who doesn't play the video game. Wow. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
I mentioned you were on the Travel Channel. You're a tour guide.
Yeah.
For what cities have you done?
So I used to do tours, like public tours here in New York. I did it for years. And now I just, aside from doing comedy and some acting stuff, I have a YouTube channel where I do stuff about New York, around New York, and also around the world. I've done stuff in Puerto Rico, Mexico, Panama, you know, different cities in the country, Tampa, Sag Harbor, and just bounce around doing like kind of like tours and informational stuff. That's kind of also, it's fun with a smile, you know, with a, you know, smirk or whatever. So it's a good time. That's how I make a living now. So the YouTube channel has done pretty well lately. So that's it. I'm a YouTuber, I guess. I don't know. It just happened. I didn't see it coming, but here I am.
What makes somebody want to be a travel guide? How do you know you're good at it? Or you just know you're taken in any place you ever pass?
Well, actually, here in New York, a lot of performers are tour guides, believe it or not. And because it's like you're kind of performing already. In fact, a comedian got me started with tour guiding.
Did you have to choose between, like, I'll do the ghost tours or like the regular New York tours?
I mean, you kind of you first got to get certified just generally, and then you kind of make your way and you figure out which one you want. And me, I just kind of did everything. What ended up happening was I did it at the beginning just for money, but I ended up just falling in love with history. I love history. So it was really easy for me to learn and study. And I just kind of got hooked. And I'm always reading something new about the city and about other places. And I just inhale information and it's great.
What's the test? Like, where's the MoMA you have to know?
Well, you're not too far off, man. I mean, it's like there's 150 question multiple choice test that the Department of Consumer Affairs of New York gives out. And you have to get a 95 or above to pass, 120 or above to get a star. You get a star for doing well. And
Are there practice tests online?
Yes, there are. There are. There are practice tests. It's actually, so if you look up New York City sightseeing exam, license exam, you'll find questions like on, I think cram.com has a bunch of questions on there, and you'll get a sense of what they're like. So you just memorize, they use the same questions every year pretty much. So you can just memorize most of them and they're there.
And it's just like where things are. Do you have to know
what year did the Empire State Building get finished? Stuff like that. You know, like
work in progress. Can you fill in the blank at the end of these?
All multiple choice. Yeah, it's all multiple choice.
Multiple choice is not bad. Here's a question: where are the great works of Picasso found? That's a little leading, right?
A little bit.
Did he sponsor this?
No, he didn't. He didn't. He did not. It actually was written by a tour guide. The test was written by a tour guide who was like the king tour guide for a while, and I think he just recently moved out of the city. Really nice guy, though.
I also read that you are a former lawyer.
I used to be a lawyer. I came to New York as a lawyer. I passed the bar, and then I worked in law. I worked like a startup for 4.5 years. And hated every minute of it.
Yeah.
Holy Lord, it's brutal.
What's an example of some you had to defend or otherwise?
I did. So that's one of the nice things. I wasn't in the courtroom, so that's good. My hours weren't brutal. I was able to just do like a 9 to 6:30 or whatever. And afterwards, I go straight to doing stand up or whatever. It was when I first started. I took classes. I took acting classes, commercial acting classes, all this crap just to kind of like, you know, beef up my resume and skills for when I did quit. And I eventually quit. And that was
what's so bad about being a lawyer, because that's all parents want: doctor, lawyer.
I know. And you know, the funny thing is every time I tell someone that I used to be a lawyer and that what I do now, they're always like, the first question almost without fail out of their mouth is, what do your parents think about that?
Mm.
And you know, I even have a joke about it in my stand-up set. I'm like, well, if you want to know so bad, why don't you ask them? Because they don't talk to me anymore. They were very supportive. It's just kind of a joke, but yeah, they were fine with it because it wasn't an impulse decision. I started doing everything while I was working at the office. I'd take every one of my nights, every one of my weekends. I saved money for years.
But what was so bad about being
what I hated about
boring?
It?
Boring.
Well, the job I had was it was boring. Like, I felt like I was just sitting at a desk. I was researching intellectual property, commercial contracts. And as far as law jobs go, it wasn't too bad. I was writing a lot, you know, get to research and stuff. And so it wasn't too bad, but I just wasn't interested in it. And it was painful.
I assume you know that the great Greg Giraldo.
Greg Giraldo was a lawyer. He was a lawyer at a huge law firm too, one of the biggest firms in the world, actually. Dimitri Martin dropped out of law school. The amazing Jonathan, rest in peace. He was a lawyer, I believe. There's a bunch of lawyers in the comedy world.
Why do you think that is? Because you're arguing a case?
I think there's a couple reasons. One is that it is so much based on reading and analyzing and analysis and, like, you know, kind of pulling from what you read and everything. And also the creativity of it. The whole idea behind law is you learn the rules, but then you're able to kind of manipulate what you've learned into arguments and different ideas.
That's such good news.
Yeah. And also, too, the second part of it is that a lot of people end up being very disillusioned lawyers. So they leave the law. You know, a lot of people go into law, unfortunately, very, very open-ended, like, oh, I can do anything with a law degree. I can be a journalist. I can be that, the other. And they realize very quickly, like, oh crap, I'm a lawyer and I don't really like this that much. I have to start over and do something else. So they leave.
Because you know so much information, when you walk around the city with friends, are they like, we get it. We don't need to know the history of every fucking building. Can we meet you there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. A hard, hard yes.
Do you stop, or do you just go, no, I really think that you'd find this one thing interesting. I know that, hey, this particular buddy, you would want to know about this, because do you continue going?
Well, some people like it. Some people are like, hey, let's go, you know, meet up and walk around or something. Some people love it. And they'll like, you know, hit me up every now and then. And I'll like, we'll go walk around. I'll show them stuff. And some people, you know, don't like it. And, you know, I love it though. And it's kind of, I just kind of do it naturally, you know, like when I used to go on dates, you know, and stuff before Lucy and everything, I would just point out like stuff, just be walking around and point out stuff that some people would be like, and others would be, oh, this is really cool. Interesting.
I picture you on a date and you're in the restaurant and you go, is John here? The owner. He was the owner from 1986.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Did Lucy say, oh, you're a lawyer? And you went, I used to be. And she's like, oh, okay.
No, actually, no, she's, I think I did the right thing. It's interesting, but not for one millisecond have I ever regretted leaving law. So that's a good thing.
Do you watch law movies? Does that,
I mean, I have watched some, not really. I mean, not really. I used to kind of, you know, be interested in a little bit of the law. I worked in government for a little bit. I interned with like a senator. I was doing campaigns. I was kind of going that way. I was also kind of interested in trial law, but I never really went down that road. And
how old are you?
Well, I've been around the block a time or two. I'm 38, actually.
Okay.
38 years old. Yeah. So I moved here in 2008, and I passed the bar in 2008, and I was pretty young. I was just turned 25.
Your energy level is also very, very high.
Right now?
Yes.
I drank some coffee, so okay. You know, it's not exactly natural, but I'll take it.
When you were working for the government or working in, you know, working with the government, did you end up disillusioned? Like, there's no point to any of this, guys. I might as well tell you the truth. It is a fucking mess with these senators and Congress and who gives a shit.
It was really, I didn't do it for very long. I did it like during law school a bit, and then before law school. And it was kind of sad. Like, I remember interning for a senator, and I went to campaigns and fundraising events, and it's just so, I don't know. It's just so gross. Like, it's just so gross, the whole thing. I mean,
were you good at it though? Can you get into a gross space and like be mediocre, like a medium gross enough where you're not backstabbing yourself, but blending?
You know, I can like schmooze pretty well when it's for something I give a crap about. That's the problem. I have a hard time like really like motivating myself and pushing myself through when it's something that I'm just doing for money or for some other reason. But if I actually care about it, I find it kind of easy to get along with people and converse and whatnot. But yeah, I can't do it. I can't be like a hired gun, which I think is a problem with the law thing. So,
right. I'm seeing that, attorneys are now using the Will Smith slap as a point of reference in actual criminal cases. Here's one that I picked out
already.
Sure.
It's, this is Wednesday now. The slap, of course, was Sunday night. Attorney, Dirk Padgett told jurors during closing arguments that his client, William Ray, who was standing trial on two counts of first-degree murder, simply snapped, just like the actor did when he smacked Chris Rock at the Oscars.
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
And people seem to be understanding that, by the way. We'll get into more detail about the fallout, but more than 50% of Americans, in a poll I just read, believe that Will Smith did not do the wrong thing. Yeah, you got to stand up for yourself and you got to smack somebody sometimes. So lawyers are taking advantage of that now.
Oh, my God.
More than 50%.
More than 50%. I'll go into specifics.
That means they're seeing a show as a provocation.
Yeah.
That means that just saying something deserves a slap like that.
The lawyer said things you wouldn't ordinarily do, like Will Smith did. That happens to people. I bet he wishes he could take that back, the lawyer said, but he can't. Will Smith can't unbreak a stick. Here's what the guy did. Guy killed two people. He fatally stabbed a 44-year-old guy more than 20 times.
Oops,
he snapped. Before drowning a 42-year-old woman in her own bathtub.
That's what he's comparing to a slap?
The defense strategy failed.
Yeah.
So that's good.
As it should.
It took 2 hours to convict this guy. I hope that's because the jury's like, let's order some more sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the fuck out of here.
Let's get some free food out of this. Yeah.
All right. So last show we did, of course, we talked about the slap. It was the day after the Oscars. And we'll tell you about some more fallout. But first, let me mention stamps.com. We all love the post office, right? But we also love stamps.com. You can do the things you do in a post office in the comfort of your own home with cheaper get a discount on postage. Try to do that at the post office. I literally dare you. Anyway, stamps.com is fantastic. More than 20 years, stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. They might be able to help you out. Whether you're an office sending invoices, you have an Etsy shop, maybe you have a full-blown warehouse
maybe
to ship orders.
Maybe it's just cold out and you just don't want to go outside.
Right. Sign up with promo code KATG at stamps.com for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, a digital scale. Ask the post office for that. No long-term commitments or contracts, all right? Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, enter code KATG, and enjoy your life, all right? So this is the poll that I was talking about. More than half of those surveyed in the new poll said that the comedian was in the wrong when he joked, Chris Rock, of course, when he joked about Jada Pinkett Smith's shaved head at the Oscars. and do not fault the Will Smith for smacking him on camera. 52.3% blame Chris Rock for the incident. 47.7% say Will Smith should have kept his cool. By the way, both of these things are against Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Crazy. Not like, whoa, what the fuck? Your other choice is he should have kept his cool, even though it was so egregious.
Right. It was, yeah.
It's called the Blue Rose Research Poll. But yeah, that did surprise me. Did you ever think that's how crazy it is that now we got to debate if hitting is wrong?
Yeah, that's to me, I think one of the scariest things about all this is the lack of empathy people have. I mean, everyone's slipped
towards
up and
Chris
said
Rock. Empathy towards Will.
Exactly. And also too, like this inability of people to imagine themselves in that position and or imagine someone they love. It's funny because if you ask someone who defends Will Smith, well, what if that was you who said something? They would say, well, whatever. I'd like to see someone try do that or whatever. Right. Okay, well, what if it was your grandfather? Well, you know, I would do something. Like, it's just kind of this devil, like, devolving into the Wild West, you know, right. into making it like, you know, eye for an eye. Let's just, you know, you got to, it's might makes right. And it's insanity. I think it's complete insanity.
And it also, now we have to go so far as to also take into account it was Jada that was talked about, and it was her husband who, like a caveman, came into the decision making of moving forward, like physical assault.
Right.
Why, when we go, well, sometimes you just have to physically assault someone. Does that sound okay?
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Like, that's crazy. Because it's like, well, okay, well, you're gonna have to live and die by that sword. Like, if you really think that that's okay, then, well, all right, you're walking down the street, someone cuts you off and you say, hey, asshole, they're going to come back and punch you in the face. You got to be like, well, I deserve that. You know, like, that's crazy. Yeah. What do we want? What kind of world do we want to live in?
Who are these people voting like that? Are they the ones that are calling everybody else snowflakes? Because this is a snowflake. If that joke triggered you so much that you feel like a slap that hard on live TV in front of your peers, ruining the event for everybody is necessary, then you can't call anybody a snowflake.
Yeah.
You need help. Your trigger is way too sensitive.
Yeah, no, it's really kind of like, to me, that's been the most jarring thing about the whole thing. Is like, it really speaks volumes as to where we are as a country, you know, that's
we're
really
even debating it.
That we're even debating that. Like, the joke aside, everything else aside, the everything, like, bottom line is this guy completely assaulted someone else.
And then got a standing ovation,
got an Oscar, was able to go to a party and dance the night away. It's just complete insanity. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying the guy should be putting, you know, getting the chair or anything, but the fact that we are able to just...
Why are we... And we're always comparing to that. No one's saying the chair. Yeah. We're not even saying arrested. Why do we even compare to
that? It's crazy.
All we're saying is, did anyone just see that?
Yeah.
Because it got deleted from fucking memory right away.
Right. It's the most insane thing. I mean, it really, like, and that's when people are like, what's the big deal? Like, it was funny. It speaks volumes as to where we are. And it's a very, to me, that's a very sad, like, pill to swallow, you know? And I don't know.
Yeah. And you know what? It's at the end of the day, it is called a bitch slap. And Chris Rock is almost seen as the bitch now because he's not the one who did the hitting.
Yeah. Well, also too, like,
a picture of him getting slapped.
Yeah.
That's what you do to a woman.
Oh my God.
I can't like the whole thing. And then also too, like, throw in everything else. I mean, that little discussion aside, like the fact that it's assault, throw in the fact that now comedy is like, now there's like a whole new view on comedy. Now it's a discussion. Now it's become like, well, is the joke okay? Can you hit someone? There's actually like a question in the popular opinion's mind of, can I retaliate? Should I retaliate? You know, like, that's now an issue, not something you can actually consider, you know?
Which is so funny because we wouldn't consider this if we're going to a Broadway show or an off-Broadway play, a musical, an opera.
Yeah.
If the lyrics are something that trigger me, can I go up on stage in the middle of Oliver and go, that's not what orphans are.
Right. 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 Or yeah. Or go up in the middle of like, you know, like the Spider-Man musical and be like, this sucks. Yeah, you know, like
a just spider wouldn't have this effect after exactly. fighting a human. Yeah. Fuck it. Why are you teaching wrong science? You get upset differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will Smith's mom says, my son is a very, very even person. That's the first time I ever saw him go off. The first okay. time in his lifetime, I've never seen him do that.
Okay, he
didn't even do it when his dad beat yeah. the shit out of me. I didn't say it, but
oh, you did see that.
Now, so is the only way to make it okay, like on Saturday Night Live, Chris Rock gets to slap him? Because Chris, and you know Chris Rock's fingers, he's got like Muppet hands. I wonder if that would help him or hurt him.
I think they should take his Oscar away.
Or could he slap him? But he gets to use, Chris Rock could slap him back, but he gets to use that big jackass hand. Just knocks him all down. To me, to take away the Oscars so is silly to me, because what if I just want to go back and learn who won that year? And the answer is going to be nobody?
No, that give it to someone else or something. I don't know.
What a fun surprise for that person that night.
Yeah.
You kick Will out, which is what you were supposed to do when somebody assaults somebody. You yeah. kick Will out. And Jada decides if she's going to stay or not. Let's see how loyal.
Yeah.
And then and then you, I don't know what you do with the Oscar, but you deal with it. You don't. And then how weird would it be if it's like, we were going to give this to Will, but the runner up is, and that person has to go up and be like, peace on earth. What else can right, I say exactly. right here?
Right.
I'm not as much a vessel for love, I guess.
Right. I'd like to thank Will's short temper for this Oscar.
Well, Chris is performing in Boston tonight. I believe it's the start of his tour.
Well, you heard his tickets have gone up. Like the tickets like shot up in price because everyone wants to see what he's going to say about all this.
I just looked at, I was at the Borgata recently because Kyle was performing stand-up, and I saw in the same place Chris Rock was about to. I think the tickets were maybe 40-some bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonable.
I looked it up today, over $1,000.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You could see Rolling Stones VIP package for half that, and I'm not exaggerating. I looked it up.
Yeah.
The lowest tickets I read you were able to get for like $31. Now it's $400-some. So all Will Smith did for Chris, he added on, he's got to give Chris work. I would be very disappointed if I bought my ticket early or later and Chris Rock didn't talk about it. Now you have to talk about it. Yeah. You just got a job. So in 2 days, you need 5 or 10 minutes of the what everybody's talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even think people are expecting like jokes at this point. They just want to hear what he has to say, period. Right. Like, I mean, just like go up there and address this dude. We're all like dying to know what he's going to say.
But you know what? I think to Keith's point, that's imagine if it was a different assault and it affects my career, where now I have to talk about my assault before I get to the show that I already finished writing this show.
Yeah,
so again, would we ask the Broadway performer, like, now you're going to go, the tickets are sold out and prices have risen. Should we stop the show and go, here are my thoughts about this and try to catch them afterwards?
Yeah.
You, as much as like, everyone's like, well, he's benefiting from it. I think we do that a lot to the victim. How are you benefiting from this? And it's like, well, not I wanted to, not in the way that I wanted to, not for my choosing. And by the way, I got slapped on live TV by a colleague. Can we not forget that this wasn't a gift? That's like how your parents are like, you know, we're complaining about our parents, whatever. And they're like, see, you're welcome for the fodder. I'm like, but you said this was good news growing up. So, yeah.
Well, and it's also a very American way to look at it, like that money equals benefit. The fact that you make more money means you win. You've won something. Right. When that's not true, like he would probably choose, like, I would rather the tickets be what they were before. I don't care. I'd rather not have to deal with this crap. I would have rather not gotten slapped. I would have rather, but everyone's like, oh, now he's more famous. Now more people. And they think that that matters for anything. Like, yeah,
and he's
it's
famous
true.
For that. Where meanwhile, he's got decades of history of doing his work.
Crazy.
Now the credit is on this other dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And people think that's such a typical thing. Like that clout equals like that's it. That's the ultimate prize. Clout and money. You're why are you complaining? You know?
And who in the audience can afford $1,200 tickets? It's going to be the elite that you hate now.
Yeah.
You know, I think he should have like five plants in the audience. So these guys start coming up to him and one at a time, he keeps slapping them in the face. Exactly. Sit down. People get confused and think he's,
after the show, people are just going to line up to get slapped by him. Actually.
Right.
That's the meet and greet.
That's a new ride after the show.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of for autographs, they just slap, you know.
But see, I know that he has to think about all this now. He has to put it into his show, his pre-show, his after-show, whatever. He has to put it into his life because it's there. Or like he said, I'm going to be so disappointed if that doesn't come up. But it shouldn't have to.
Yeah. Well, not just the fact that he has to think about it. He has to process this. Like no one wants to. I mean, like I just remember like in high school and stuff, you get into these fights and stuff, like it affects you. It's traumatizing and you walk away from it just dealing it on your own. Now he's got to deal with it in public. He's got to deal with it at home. He's got to deal with all this anger, all that stuff. And then he has a professional pressure of making jokes of it and all this stuff. Like it's a lot, man. Like,
but he did say, I mean, he was so composed that he was able to say right after it happened, like immediately, this is history. He already knew how this was going to unfold. Yeah. And you know what? Because we have so much precedent of this, like your abuser is in the audience or your abuser is on stage getting an award, a standing ovation. That's like regular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, rarely do you see the actual assault on live TV, though. That's the thing. Like everyone saw it. There's no question. It's not like, well, he said, she said. It's like, no, we're watching. It happened. Everyone can see it, you know.
And then he doubled down by yelling. And then and then we all forgot it, or the people in the audience forgot it. I can't believe he wasn't removed.
I agree. I think he should have been removed. But I think what's interesting, too, is like it's hard to like people were in shock. Everyone was in shock. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine being in that audience and just being like, is that a joke? Was that
a
sketch?
Were they still in shock?
Is this
or
real?
They stood up?
Yeah,
laughing.
I would definitely.
The shock has worn off. That is.
I agree.
Human behavior. You don't stay in shock the whole time. Could they still all lift a car by that point? No.
Yeah. And there were commercial breaks between. Obviously, there were commercial breaks between.
Definitely.
So that means everybody's talking to each other. And somehow, universally, they decided they're on Team Will Smith.
That to me was the most like surreal part of the whole thing. Like it's like we're in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
We're like in the Twilight Zone. And also too, like the producers or something, they should have at least removed him or something. Like what is going on, man?
Here's a tweet. Here's a tweet. I like Brendan Cooney says, so let me get this straight. Y'all think it's okay to slap a modern day philosopher? That's right. That's right. I enjoyed this tweet from Kenda. Everyone who responds with physical assault is coming from a place of pain. It's not kindness to make excuses for them. It's kindness to give them the responsibility of their own thoughts and responses. # we all have pain.
Yeah, because the biggest thing is, he was in pain. Well, this is him lashing out at something. The history of violence that he had in his immediate family. And it's like, what? You're listing things that so many people have. How about the letter that we got at the top of this show?
Right.
Does that person get to slap someone? How many people, you know?
Right. It's not an excuse. He even said it in his apology. I don't know if you guys read his apology where he said he's a work in progress.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Give me a break, man. We're all a work in progress, man. We're going around hitting people.
Well, I think I'm complete. I didn't smack anybody for months. Complete. Everybody's acting like alopecia is stage 4 cancer. Do a little Googling. Right. It's okay. The fuck? Some hair falls out in the shower. You'll be all right. Okay.
It isn't like, again, I have alopecia also. And the most it's been is a bummer, you know, because you are like, I feel bald spots in my head and stuff. And it freaks you out. But it's another autoimmune disease. And once you have one, like it's a fucking bummer. But like you said, it's not stage 4 cancer. And even if I get stage 4 cancer and if you guys stop laughing at me and my diseases, I'll be so sad. Now, I'm not making that decision for another person and how they deal with their own health problems. But if Chris Rock and I would, if I was in the audience or like in a space where jokes are being told, then I know it's from love. I know that Chris Rock is not hitting me.
Yeah. And you know what? What you're saying, Hamda, is that like, even if it was something that offended you, that's beside the point. Like the guy punched someone on stage, like he slaps someone on stage, like give it to her, I guess. Okay. Alopecia. It's been traumatic. It's whatever. Fine. still not okay. You know, like it doesn't matter. Like we're all right. missing.
Even that's if like she was dying.
Yeah, it's like not, we're missing the point. Yeah. This guy just assaulted someone on live television and nothing happened. Like that's the point. And I think that's what people are missing. Everyone's like, oh, he stood up for his wife. Oh, it's traumatic. I have the same disease. That's all beside the point. Like just right. looking at it from a legal standpoint, it's beside the point, you know?
Anybody see the documentary Con Air? There was a guy that was trained by the military. And so his hands, they're known as weapons. And he tried to defend his wife, but by killing a person or two, that's bad. No, Will Smith was Ali, the greatest boxer of all time.
He's method, but like a little late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a tweet. This is real. This is a statement from Alec Baldwin about the fight. Alec Baldwin, who, however you look at it, did shoot somebody to death.
By mistake.
Movie set.
Okay,
but I'm ready to give my opinion now. It's not for you. It's not for you. If he watched those awards, he saw that the third person in the in memoriam was the woman he shot. Oof. You don't get to comment on this. That's my two cents. He says, I'm not reading much about how or even if the producers attended to Chris, but I love you at Chris Rock, and I'm sorry the Oscars turned into the Jerry Springer show. So he's ready to get back out there. Good for him.
That wasn't so bad. Was that so bad?
Just shut up! I just saw the person you killed!
That was traumatic for him. That's such a different thing. That's a long equation.
I would say out of it. I just killed somebody, whether I think I'm guilty or not. I'd be so devastated that I wouldn't bring up a point that has to do with that woman was just on the in memoriam. How about that for a statement? Ah, my heart broke again when I saw this. No, you got to talk about the fucking trending thing. It's strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's ironic is I could see Alec Baldwin doing something like what happened. Frankly, I could see him going on stage and doing something like that.
Yes, he has some issues. That's all. You know, he's having another baby, by the way. See, that's how bored he was. He's like, I can't do movies. All right, I'll make a seventh baby.
May I be ageist and say how old is he?
How old is he? Let's take a look.
116 years old.
He's up there.
He's almost retirement age in the United States.
63.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He's 63.
Wow.
63. Okay.
Okay.
His
wife is 38, for the record.
Ah, okay.
So she can.
You know, that's another interesting. That's another interesting fact about this whole thing is people forget Chris Rock is almost 60.
Right.
Right, he's like in his late 50s, isn't he?
I believe so. He must be.
This is a guy who's almost 60 years old getting assaulted on stage, you know?
He is 57.
57.
Yep.
That's crazy. Almost a 60-year-old man getting slapped on stage. Oh, like these aren't two teenagers or two like professional athletes. These are like two, you know, one is almost 60 and the other guy's like 50, mid-50s or something. Who knows?
Will Smith's 53, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, you just, I can't make movies, I'm bored, let's have a baby. Well, she's pregnant, I can't really, do anything with that, so I have a comment on the Oscars. Just relax. Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric's Awesome Show, he left a statement. Now, this is how you do it. And it's a black and white picture of him with his hands in prayer form up to his mouth, right? He's really thinking about this the situation. My heart breaks, he says, for comedy itself. We cannot allow violence to stop us from speaking the truth. Comedy is a sacred art. From back in the Bible days, even Adam and Eve had comedy in their lives. No comics should fear for their lives just for being honest about hair or how bad someone smells. That said, offensive jokes should be met with worldwide condemnation from all, and we must take responsibility for our actions, even if that means being physically attacked. I am one of the most offensive comedians of all time, but I must say, no more bullshit. That's beautiful.
What's up? What was that?
He's not saying anything. That's the point.
Okay. He's joking around. Yeah.
Okay.
So you brought up Will Smith's apology. First, Jada Pinkett Smith was the first one to say something. And by say something, I mean on Instagram, a purple background and, you know, some striking font that says, this is a season for healing and I'm here for it. That's it. That's her statement.
Poetic.
And poetry doesn't have to mean nothing sometimes, I guess. Right. What the fuck does it mean?
It's whatever you want it to mean. That's how it's poetry. Is it a haiku? That'd be fun.
Right.
Well, people also call poetry stuff that makes no sense. You know, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it's poetry, whatever, you know.
So, I think you guys get what I'm saying.
No, for sure.
This is Will Smith's Instagram now, okay? Violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. Jokes at my expense are part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. I saw a meme where it shows her face. You know, she just looks like she just came from, you know, The Matrix 5, like a real stoic face. Like she's looking at him and goes, engage Executive Order 66. And then Will Smith is like a robot, like, now must slap. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line and I was wrong. I'm embarrassed by my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. I would also like to apologize to the Academy, the producers of the show, all the attendees, and everyone watching around the world. I would like to apologize to the Williams family and my King Richard family. You'll remember in my speech, I equated myself to that great man. I deeply regret that my behavior has stained what has been an otherwise gorgeous journey for all of us. I am a work in progress. Sincerely, Will. And I'm very happy that Chris Rock hasn't made a statement yet. You know, maybe the statement will be, you know, some reporter's going to go to this Boston show tonight and tell us what happens. But you know what? Good. Let him fucking sweat. Don't say it's okay. It's not okay. Let him wait it out. That's what I think.
I hear you, because the last thing I want to do is make sure that I respond to the person who just slapped me. I think I'm busy.
Yeah. Yeah. And Will Smith.
And good for you. You apologized. And I guess, you know, within 24 hours after you partied. But
right. Sorry, I have a hangover. It took me a bit. But apparently Jada put something up, so I have to now, too.
Right.
I totally get why people don't give a shit about apology. Even though that apology was like,
oh, I hated
let's
it.
Say if we just looked at it, it had all the things, right? But I've gotten apologies from people that were really long emails, and I'm like, I didn't read it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm either gonna like you again or not. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I get it, you didn't mean it. What could be in this email? I'm like, all right, I don't know. It's either so egregious that like we can't go back no matter how sorry you are, and that's fine. We all don't have to like reunite as friends always. Or it's something that was going to roll off me anyway. And okay, whatever, however you said sorry, good for you.
Will Smith is like, you know what? Nothing's more important now than dialogue and conversation. And turn off notifications and turn off you're able to write back in any way. Click.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Why did you hate the apology?
Why did I hate the apology? Mm-hmm. Let me look at it again.
Are we just in hate mode? And I'm not saying this sarcastically. I want to know if... Because... It on the books, like that is an apology, right? So
why did you do it, and how do I know you're not going to do it again? That's what makes an apology. What are you doing so it doesn't happen again? You're a work in progress is what you're doing so it doesn't happen again. When will you be fulfilled?
Yeah, he was trying to like justify it in that apology. Yes. He was trying to say like the medical condition thing, he's a work in progress, like all this stuff. And it's kind of just like, he's kind of saying like, I'm sorry, but he did say that thing. Yeah. Don't forget, you know, like that's kind of, you know, once again, beside the point, you know, he say he reacted emotionally. He didn't, he reacted physically. Right. He reacted emotionally and physically. A lot of people react emotionally when they get made fun of. Okay, you go home, you cry about it, you talk to them after, whatever. But he reacted emotionally and physically. Like, it's not the same thing.
I wasn't my best self. He goes, jokes at my... So he, in the very first paragraph, he's, like you're saying, Tom, he's justifying what happened. Violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive. First of all, thanks for the lesson, Will. How about more I statements, you piece of shit?
Yeah, I felt that. And that's the thing. I felt like agita as you were reading it. And I'm like, am I already mad? but I think you guys are making good points.
My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and excusable. Okay, maybe we're getting somewhere. Jokes at my expense I can take, but when it's about Jada's medical condition, that was too much for me to bear. That's your out right there. I should have controlled myself when somebody attacked. You know by now, it's been at least 24 hours. You know by now that Chris Rock wasn't just attacking her and making fun of some disease. He didn't have anything planned. Those three jokes he said were corny as fuck. You look like G.I. Jane. You know, he should be slapped for being so fucking hacky. Yes, of course, I do agree on that. But
metaphorically, thank you.
And in the face. But, you know.
Allegedly.
But factually. I would like to apologize to you, Chris, even though, you know, remember when I did my speech. Also, acknowledge that you did your speech, which we played on the last show we did. You did your speech attacking Chris. You compared yourself to this guy from the movie you played and said, the father that cares too much. Now, all of a sudden, it's about your kids also, is what you're implying. Just like King Richard, the father has to step up, and he's going to look crazy, but he has to take care of his family, like Chris Rock was attacking the whole family now.
Right,
you can't trick me, you piece of shit. And during your apology, mention that. Mention it might have been a little humiliating that you're introducing Best Documentary, and when Questlove and his pals start walking to the stage, Will Smith gets up and hugs them all to show that, hey, look, everybody's on team Will Smith.
May I just say, now, Keith has a history of apologies. So when he was growing up, his father asked him to apologize to him multiple times and for no reason. So I think Keith became like an apology expert. And I think this is a game show where you bring your apology to Keith. He fucking breaks it down line by line. Here's where you're not taking responsibility. Here's where you're putting it on your victim. Here's where you bring it back to children that don't even exist during this time, like even your potential, whatever it is, and just go like, no, try again. Yeah. And then the contestants go and try again.
There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. You're trying to double up on trickery. Just like you did during your speech, you said you're a vessel for love picked out by God.
Ugh. Ugh.
Smack.
Oh, and by the way, I can see the point system now where he goes, you double down on that. That's two extra points on the board.
Yeah. Survey says. Ding, 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 ding.
1 point for being snide and you thought you were going to trick me. 2 points for trying to trick me because you know how much I fucking hate that. 3 points for calling yourself the victim in lines 3 and 4 without using the words victim. Love it. This is a new game show.
And it's so weird to punish with taking away the Oscar, even though if it would affect this egotist. Because let's say I get picked, it's kind of weird that you know that I was second, just not first. And then if I'm not picked, it's weird that you know I'm 3rd, 4th, or 5th.
But I don't think it's about that. It would be more about the fact that, like, you did not get your way. It's like, this is a message saying, you're not getting your way here. And it's like, he could think all day long, like, yeah, but I still won. Okay, you didn't get put in the books as the winner. All right, it does something. It's also a public signal as well, saying we're not putting up with this.
Well, yeah, I get your public signal, and I agree with that. I think the public signal should have been get the fuck out of this space right now, and we're gonna have to figure out what goes in your Oscar slot. But it's not gonna be a standing ovation for you, and you don't get to win any more Oscars in the future.
Right.
That's it. We're not pressing charges. Right. Which, by the way, there's could be so many charges here from different directions, different people. Dude, we're not going to press charges, but you can't win this award anymore because you tainted this one for life.
Yeah,
that's a public, you know, that because what else can you do if Chris doesn't want to press charges? Then I think that's who gets to decide.
The Academy condemns the actions of Mr. Smith at last night's show.
How so?
We have officially started a formal review around the incident.
We're going to review it.
Yeah. Did anybody out there record it? Nobody records anymore. It happened so fast.
We're going to do our own research.
Yeah, we've officially started a formal review around the incident, and we'll explore further actions and consequences in accordance with our bylaws, standards of conduct, and California law. What are the Academy bylaws and standards of conduct to actors slapping actors?
Can you please do my game show? Can you go line by line and say how many points they get for their response,
sure,
please?
The Academy condemns the action. You don't. So we're starting you negative on the board.
Yeah.
You don't condemn the actions. We have officially started a formal review. What'd you learn? You doubled down, minus 20. Put it, show me on that board. Thank you, Vanna. What the fuck?
Thank you.
And then they somehow from the Smith camp, Will and Jada Smith will address Chris Rock Oscar smack on Red Table Talk. That's Jada Smith, her daughter, and her mom, I believe. And they talk about it. So they'll get to the bottom, which is so fucking unfair. Which is so fucking unfair because I'm Chris Rock, and you're all going to sit down there and discuss what was going through your head, which is going to be justifying it. You'll still say you were wrong, but you'll throw out the points like you just did, and it's non-apology. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That is what's going to happen. And the thing is at least the U.S. and maybe possibly around the world, they will take their side because their show is so intimate and wholesome and learning about yourself and growing. And it's like, hey, what they are growing and they're growing in front of us and they're being so open about it and blah, blah, blah. And that gets mistaken for actual sincerity and apologies.
For actual words. Oh, yeah, you are a vessel of love. How am I going to shit on that? You can't because it's the dumbest fucking words I've ever heard put together. Minus well, you 100. Know what? Ding, ding, ding.
People don't even read. I guess people overlook the fact, too, that a crazy shift this guy did. He went from laughing at the joke to having so much rage he had to hit the guy, to having his voice quiver with anger, to being on stage crying about how he's a vessel with love, to going to a after party and dancing the night away, to then the next day apologizing. Like, what kind of a psychopath are you? Like, that to me just screams like a complete, just emotionally unstable person. But I don't know. To me, I've always been so...
You can't say I don't know after all that.
Well, I say I don't know. I don't know. Well, I say I don't know because I guess when I see someone who's that famous for that long, you have to remember these people have been told for decades that they are God, pretty much. After a little while, you're going to believe it.
I think that's what he was saying when he was on stage.
Exactly.
No, he was
exactly
saying
right.
that he's God. God is talking through him and all these words and actions are necessary as part of my vessel for love.
And that's why I guess I say I don't know, because you can almost if you take a step back, you can hardly blame these people because they're being told this every day. I think any human being after long enough would just be like, yeah, I guess you're right. I am kind of the number one person. I can treat people how I want. I can do what I want. No consequences, whatever. You know, they're living a different reality than us. And I guess
they
that's
are living
the sad
like
things,
gods,
you know?
Though. It's yeah. they're not really wrong. He literally just proved that he can do anything and not have consequences.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to the Vanity Fair party or whatever. Oh, okay. I'm going to go home and suck myself off. All right. What a great, great night. I thought this was funny. It's a tweet for those who in the know. It's a tweet from Idiot Savant with X-ray Vision. And they write, if Will Smith watched Ridley Scott's seminal film, The Last Duel, then he would know violence for the sake of defending a woman's honor against a Ridley Scott joke was wrong. That's right. He happened to direct all those things. I thought it was funny. Will Smith and Jada Smith will address Chris Rock Oscar smack on the red table. And our buddy Rod said, well, I hope Chris is a guest. I don't. I just paid $6,000 for a Chris Rock ticket. And you're going to tell me they worked it out?
Yeah.
Chris Rock's going to tell me, grow up, guys. Puff Daddy got us together. I'd be like, argh. Words.
Well, there were people online, I guess, and people have been saying that Chris Rock didn't actually finish his joke because he brought up G.I. Jane, which is so random and like from the past that people were there's a theory that he was going to continue with the joke and compare her to Demi Moore and the Bruce Willis situation where she left him for a younger guy or they, you know, went away from him for a younger guy. And the same thing happened with Will Smith.
I think people are trying to write Chris Rock jokes. But that's okay.
Maybe. No. Maybe it's possible. I mean, there's the theory. It's like, why else would he bring up G.I. Jane? I don't know.
But why'd he bring up, you know, hey, I saw Macbeth and you're like, King Lear has nothing on me. I'm like, don't tell me you wrote in the back. You didn't give a fuck. When before the slap happened, I was kind of upset. I was kind of upset at Chris Rock. I'm like, you're not trying. Why are you doing it? You're not even trying.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. It's pretty weak. Whatever.
No,
this is probably what's hurting him the most. And we're like, and you weren't funny. What? I just got slapped.
right.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. Like, are both people wrong? Yeah, but a lot of not for the reasons you think.
And by the way, recommendation corner, super quick.
Yes.
Mrs. Maisel. What a fucking show. Every episode is the new love of my life. I fucking love it. Oh. And it's on topic because what can I say on stage? She was trying to figure out what to say on stage. Lenny Bruce was getting arrested every other second. So let's see how far we came in funny form.
Is it the Gilmore Girls fast talking like no one would ever talk?
I guess it is fast talking, but it's more like
it's the same person. That's why I ask.
Yeah, but it's more like it's Amy Sherman Palladino. And right. Apparently I'm in love with her also because, wow, it is fast talking. But I think it's more about the Jewish fast talking. Like, I don't know. But you know, they more have like stereotypical Ashkenazi Jew fast talking action.
Gilmore Girls, this 14-year-old would make Copernicus jokes. This Mrs. Maisel, how far back do they go? Moses?
Yeah. Yep. Have you seen it, Keith?
I don't know. You ever see that? Like, you don't know. I might have seen parts.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. I never sat down with food.
We watch so much stuff now. You're just like, I don't even know if I saw that.
Yeah, that's usually fair when it's coming out of my face. It's surprising when it comes out of Keith's face. And I really want to ask him to watch the first episode for real and maybe the first three.
What? The first three?
Yes,
it's so good. It only takes 3 hours to get in the groove.
Uh-huh. No, it's so good. Uh-huh. It is a little corny, but it's so good. I love corn.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I saw the first season. It's pretty good.
But you didn't continue.
No, it's that good. I didn't want to spoil it.
Well, I didn't. I lost my access to the Amazon service.
Oh, who'd you break up with?
Yeah.
This was years ago. I was seeing someone who had Amazon. We watched it and it was good.
Lucy can't hook you up.
Lucy has better stuff. Now you got HBO, exactly. Disney.
We've been watching better stuff. Yeah, we've been watching better stuff. So I've upgraded in many ways.
Well, I recommend the shit out of this. It's so good, and I'm so upset because I just finished watching all the episodes that are available on Amazon.
Right. Yeah. Should we go ahead? Sorry, Tom.
I was going to say, what are you going to do now with your, you know, it's going to be tough.
I'm going to go slap someone because I'm so upset.
Yeah.
That's fair, right? Learning.
All right, let's go over what we learned here. I've got some beautiful letters. And if you know somebody that is in one of these abusive relationships, they can't seem to get out, there's rape, there's beatings, there's all this, recommend our show. They need something, right? Okay, that's fun. Let's see, tour guide, we learned all about that. Tom is insufferable when you hang out with him, but if you're new to a city, you can hire him and you will enjoy it.
Since we're running by what we learned. So when Lucy was on about a year or two ago, she mentioned you, Tom, and we were like, oh, shit, yeah, definitely. We should have him on. And then separately from that, hanging out with Xerxes, and he's like, look, I found this guy's channel. It's a new, you know, roaming the city. This guy's pretty funny. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's great. Wait a minute.
That's funny. That's really funny.
So he found you separately.
That's
and
great.
I just thought that was fun. Yeah. So he's watched a bunch of your videos. Love
them. Oh, cool. I'm glad.
Yeah. And he was born and raised here.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's always the nicest compliment when people who are born and raised here like the stuff.
Anybody ever correct you on some facts?
I mean, people try to correct all the time. You know, I don't respond to comments. I've made it a point to not. I don't want to roll around in the mud with people, so I don't bother.
Start all your sentences with actually.
Yeah, no, I don't bother. If people, you know, it's usually like little details, like pronunciation on something, whatever. But I don't bother. I don't want to get into that. So I don't bother responding and stuff like that.
We learned about being a lawyer. I think I learned everything I need to know. We learned that lawyers are also using the Will Smith slap as a defense because they know that over half of Americans believe that Will Smith was in the right.
Crazy.
That's a picture that's going to last forever, that little slap. Maybe the poll will be if you think he should have to give up his Oscar. I just feel like these weird asterisks are strange, and I want to know who actually won if I went through the dates. But I get exactly what Tom's saying, of course. Chemda has major diseases. Nobody seems to make it a big deal. Let's see. Alec Baldwin is back and bigger than ever. Good for him. And congrats on his family.
Yeah, well, I think he's just so excited that someone overshadowed him or attempted to overshadow mm-hmm. him that he's just like, finally, I'm out of the freaking limelight.
Right. Will Smith's apology came to a negative 140. So try better next time on that. Will Smith tickets are $2 million. That's got to be a hell of a fucking show.
Chris Rock.
I think Will Smith should do stand up. Fuck him.
Mm. He did. He did stand up for that show where he brought a bunch of New York comics out and had them teach him how to do stand up out in Las Vegas. You never hear that?
I know.
That show was about? I remember.
Yeah, it was. I think it was on like Roku.
A bunch of people in our feed was like, I'm secretly doing something with Will Smith. And I think it came out very recently.
Yeah.
So is that what they were doing? So someone like Cristicello was on and a few people have been on the show.
Yeah.
So they were teaching him how to do stand up. Yeah. Oh, so and then that's his first reaction to stand up afterwards. So do we get to hit him if he tells a bad joke?
Well, he didn't. He was taught how to do stand up. They didn't teach him how to be an audience member.
Oh,
they thought that would
be
condescending, but it was necessary.
Right. What could they teach him about being anything? He knows everything.
He's also a work in progress, though.
That's true. That's true.
He's fucking shitting on tables. All right. Well, whatever. You know, you don't know what you know until you know it, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're all work in progress. Yeah. We're all works in progress.
Apparently,
can I tell you, I'm so excited because this is one of the few episodes that my tweet got chosen to be read.
That's right.
And I would like to thank the Academy. I don't know which one, the one for podcasting somewhere. I would also like to say that I don't understand people getting nervous when Keith reads their tweet. It was delightful, and I'm going to aim to have it done again. In fact, that's my new 2022 goal. Thank you.
to do a tweet that I read by the end of the year.
Yep.
It's March. All right, fingers crossed. Tom Delgado, you want to follow what's doing, okay? Check out the YouTube videos. A whole bunch of stuff going on there. Tom D NYC. Tom D NYC. That's also his Instagram handle. And that's that. He also does a weekly stand-up show. That's still going on?
It is. Every Wednesday, we do it at Poco.
Is it with Courtney McGinnis?
It is. It's with Courtney McGinnis. Yeah, she's great. A good friend of mine. We've been running it now for 6 years. So it's a finely tuned machine. So it's a lot of fun. And every Wednesday at Poco. And it's called What Else? Let's See What Else is the name of the show. And you can go at What Else Comedy on Instagram.
Like for tickets. It's like comics that go, let's see what else.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Okay. There you go. You got it. You got it. Yeah. Yeah. And every time a comic says it on the show, someone wins $10,000.
Oh, you guys are in trouble.
No, that's not legally binding. I don't think.
He knows that for a fact. Oh, you can just say shit like that.
Yeah, that's not legally binding.
Nope. Tom, great to meet you. Thanks for being a part of this. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. It was great to finally meet you guys, and you know, this is a cool little experience. Yeah.
We'll let Lucy know how you did.
Yeah, no, I'm very nervous. I'm very nervous to see my report card.
Right. All right, everybody, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. This Friday, get your free tickets to Keith and the Girl Week. You'll see all the information there in a couple days. And that's that. We'll talk to you soon. keithandthegirl.com.